My next guest is an enabler. He's funny and he helps other people be funny. He was editor of the satirical newspaper The Onion back in the 90s. And more recently, he was head writer and executive producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and executive producer of The Colbert Report. I think that means you're very, very rich.
You would think. You would think.
Now
I got to talk to someone about that.
Or at least funny. Now on Valentine's Day, he's enabling lovers and the lovelorn to wallow in their past failures with his collection of essays, Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me. I would like to welcome Ben Carlin to the show. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Or Benjamin, as your mother calls you in the
That's
foreword.
The only one who calls me that is my mother.
Did your mother really write the foreword to your book?
She really did write the foreword to my book. She it was my idea. But she totally wrote it, and I did as much work on that as I did on everyone else's pieces, which was not that much.
She comes right out of nice Jewish mother central
totally.
Casting.
It's ridiculous.
Your book is a collection of essays from very funny people, and there are some lessons in there. There's Beware of Math Tutors Who Ride Motorcycles by Will Forte.
That's correct.
Good advice.
Yes.
9 years is the exact right amount of time to be in a bad relationship by Bob Odenkirk. I don't think that's a personal thing for him.
Not at all.
Dating a Stripper is a Recipe for Perspective by Patton Oswalt. And we have Patton on the line. Patton, are you there?
Hello?
Hello? This is Patton Oswalt, who, by the way, is part of an Academy Award-nominated movie, Ratatouille. Patton?
Yeah, what's up? We got to make this quick. I'm driving around. It's Valentine's Day. I got to get a bunch of stuff for my stupid wife.
What are you going to get?
Hang on. Green means go! Come on! Sorry. What's up?
Patton, when you were dating a stripper, did you ever get her anything for Valentine's Day?
No, we didn't. Wait a second. Would you fake the left? It's an arrow. Oh God! Luckily, we dated during the summertime.
Oh,
so
that's good.
It didn't actually, it didn't overlap Valentine's Day. I can't even imagine Valentine's Day with her. That would have been a nightmare.
And what are you getting your wife?
Buy a bunch of gay soaps. Who knows? This is the stupid stuff done. You know, it's a holiday of love, so I gotta get some chocolates or I don't know, just a big bag of gay.
Yeah, you should get some chocolate soap.
Yeah, there you go. I'm running around like a junkie on Heroin Island right now. It's nuts.
Ben, how did you choose Patton for the book? Did you know for sure he'd been dumped many times?
I did not know for sure that he'd been dumped many times. I rolled the dice that maybe he'd been dumped once and he would be willing to write about it. But Patton, like a lot of the other people in the book, were just people that I admired and sometimes knew. And, when you do a show for like 8 years, sometimes you don't get to work with a lot of people you want to work with. And this was an opportunity to kind of gather all those people in one place and do something fun with them and hopefully have my reputation burnished by their hard work.
Hey, Patton, did the stripper break up with you? Did she really dump you?
Yeah, she dumped me. She dumped me through a misspelled text message.
What did it say?
It said that she was going to Argentina, which she spelled with a J and two E's, and then with a music band.
A music band, that kind of band?
Music dude. Yeah, like a music band, as opposed to, I don't know, a quilting band, a band of quilters or something.
She could have dumped you for a big band, perhaps. Maybe that was Maybe there's a Glenn Miller situation.
She was leaving me for Tommy Dorsey.
Well, Patton, thank you for joining us. It sounds like you're very busy, and you need to go buy that gay stuff for your wife.
Well, it's Valentine's Day again. It's a day of love. Wait a second. No, that's a loading zone. You can't park there. No! Yeah, okay, I gotta go put together a delightful basket of love and kisses.
Okay, happy Valentine's Day. Thanks, Patton, and good luck next week. I hope to see you on stage if your movie wins.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, my goodness. Maybe they'll just at least mention me.
Thanks. Thank you for joining us. We're dumping you now.
Oh, story of my life. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
So Ben, your essay does not involve a stripper.
It did not.
It's called
No.
You Too Will Get Crushed, and you basically outline the rise and fall of one of your relationships, and you number all the mistakes you made along the way. So the girl you wrote about, we'll call her Jill. Mm-hmm. Has she read it?
I don't know. I'm not in touch with her. I'm going to assume that she's aware of the book and aware of the essay. And one could assume that she's read it, yes, but I don't know firsthand.
Was it hard to was she sort of an amalgam of dumpers? Or
no,
was it?
No.
Okay. She's
no.
The one who stood out.
I originally was going to write a story called If You Lie, You Get Caught. And it was about the first time that I ever did something really bad in a relationship, which was I was seeing someone in college and we were kind of graduating and we weren't that serious, and I met someone else that I liked, so I tried to date two people at the same time.
Mm.
And it was a very like Three's Company type of situation, and it all culminated.
Did you trip a lot?
I did trip a lot. There was some hiding behind a couch, which I don't know why I did.
And then you went to the Regal Beagle and you were found out.
I mean, seriously, like it all kind of culminated in Chicago with like a wacky misunderstanding about a drop off and a pickup time and me standing with both women. And it was just so horrible, and it was awkward, and it was funny, but it wasn't really a significant event. It was just kind of a funny event. And to my friend Andy Selsberg's credit, he told me, listen, you know, you have this one relationship that kind of went south in a really big way, and you're doing a book called Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me. You got to kind of write about that.
As far as you know, has your book caused any domestic fallouts or repercussions?
You know, I don't know for sure. I do know that one guy did run into the woman he wrote about, and they kind of talked about that.
Uh-huh.
And then I do know one person who I really wanted to contribute said he couldn't because the story that he wanted to tell was about his current wife, and if he told it, he would get divorced. So,
and then Stephen Colbert's wife actually redacted.
Stephen Colbert's wife actually, and that is like more true than not true, actually.
Wow. No, what we're describing is if you read the book, it's just full of black.
Yeah,
lines.
He basically wanted to tell like the story of like the other great love in his life. But it's such a sensitive subject that the premise of the piece is that he would be able to write the story for the book, but his wife would have the ability to redact all the sensitive parts. But like all the like names and locations, and then it just became a game of redaction. It's actually one of my favorite pieces.
But it's funny. The more it's redacted, the more you get what the story's about.
Totally.
totally get it.
My favorite thing is it just gets to a point and then like a whole page is redacted except for the word like, you know, behind the Roman emperor on a chain or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
We actually, for the audiobook, I had Stephen, when he read the story, I also had him read a long list of the so-called censored out words from the story.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to the website and you can download the words, and if you have the audiobook thing, you can recreate his...
Like a Mad Lib.
Exactly, exactly.
You mentioned your friend Andy Selsberg, and he wrote, his lesson number 11 was a grudge can be art.
Yes, and it has probably my favorite one line in the whole book,
which is
he talking about how after he broke up, as a gesture of kindness, the ex-girlfriend knitted him a scarf, and he brought it back to her and said it was the only scarf he'd ever gotten that makes him feel colder when he puts it on.
That's poetry.
Yes,
almost.
Exactly.
There's an essay by at least one gay man, columnist Dan Savage, who learns he doesn't like lady bits and pieces.
Yes,
talks about,
it's graphic.
Let's just
it's
say
graphic.
Lasagna.
Yes.
Where's the lesbian essay? Because plenty of women have been dumped by
women.
You know,
there were a few lesbians I wanted to be in this book. Most of them, well, one of them said no. The other one was busy doing the Oscars when this book was being put together. And then the other one just turned out not to be a lesbian. I thought she was a lesbian. It was like it was a fantasy of mine, and I was wrong.
Oh,
no, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that's like asking someone, when are you due?
No. I'm totally joking.
Oh, okay.
No.
Now, switching gears, during this election year, you know, does your brain just automatically churn out punchlines for campaign news?
No,
no,
I'm actually able to enjoy it or at least follow it on a level that I've never, or at least not in the last two cycles, presidential. Been able to enjoy it, which is just kind of as a spectator, as someone who isn't have to think about processing it comedically and what's my take or anything like that.
Does that feel like a relief?
It feels wonderful.
You get to make a decision instead of an indecision.
Well, also, and I don't have to pay that much attention. I mean, I pay attention because I'm a relatively informed person, but I don't have to obsessively pore over nuance and articles and things like that. That while I was doing it was fine, but it's not something I would do if I didn't have to.
I read that when you started as head writer for The Daily Show, you'd never been on a television soundstage or set?
No, I had never had a real staff job on a TV show. I had like written TV shows, like pilots, but I had never... Typically what one does is you work on like a staff and then you get promoted. And because I had done The Onion and kind of run that staff, I had a parallel experience, but I didn't really have television experience per se. And it did not make me a very popular person when I first started.
Why? What happened?
Well, no, just because, I mean, I was like 20.
People put whoopee cushions on your chair?
I would have been thrilled with whoopee cushions. No, it was just, it was a rough, I didn't make it easy for myself either because I was very arrogant, or am very arrogant. But at the time, I was 27. A lot of the people on the staff were older than me, and they felt, perhaps rightly, that they should have gotten the job.
I think you proved yourself.
Well.
I remember The Daily Show being one of the only mainstream programs that was critical of the war almost from the start. You guys were like the Howard Dean of comedy shows.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Well, he was critical of the war.
Okay.
That's all I mean.
All right, okay.
Yeah, you guys let out screams. Did you take much heat for that in addition to a bunch of Emmy Awards?
Not really. I mean, as a comedy show, you kind of get a free pass. I think if you do it well, I guess, if it's still funny, I mean, I think people still thought the show was funny. If you become strident or something like that, then you probably would get in more trouble. But we tried to always balance it and tried to make sure that the points we were making were at least defensible from our point of view, and it wasn't just standing on a rooftop screaming. But it was never a conscious effort to be like anti-war or pro-war or pro one politician or anti the other. It was more of like, take it as it comes. And I wish that it was something that was part of like a master plan or agenda, but it really was much more of just like, you know, you're in the middle of the forest, you really can't see the trees.
Finally, are you doing something Valentine-y tonight? Are you buying your wife chocolate soap?
I didn't, Patton kind of beat me to the punch. Apparently only one place has chocolate soap, right. And he's already gotten there since clearly he was in his car.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cook dinner. We're going to make some lamb.
We? That's a nice pronoun to use on Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
You're going to do it together?
I like to cook.
Oh, nice.
That's one thing I can do. So we're going to cook, and we have some nice wine, and it'll just be, it'll be nice. I'm not into, going out, and I feel like it's a weird day to celebrate something that you probably should be celebrating the other 364 days. So we'll just do something nice, but we're not going to, make a big deal of it. I do have 600 flowers in my bag, however, just in case she feels the other way.
Ben, thank you for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Ben Carlin is the editor of a new essay collection called Things I've Learned from Women Who've Dumped Me. It's out in bookstores now. To learn more about him and the book, go to our website, morefairgame.org.